This is the Human Rights 2020s podcast from the Human Rights Consortium Scotland. This episode is the fourth in a series of four recordings taken from an event called What Went Wrong? COVID-19, Accountability and Building Back Better, held on the 17th of May 2021. This is a recording of a presentation made by Vary Snowden, Director of the Human Rights Consortium Scotland.
We wanted just to take 10-15 minutes just to tell you about a specific piece of work that the consortium has been doing related to COVID-19 and human rights. So for those who don't know much about us, the Human Rights Consortium Scotland is a civil society network all around human rights. We have about 125 organisations who are members, as well as lots of individual supporters. And the way we do our work is in a range of different ways, so different projects or resources or research or engagement in policy discussions. But in particular, we often bring together our members to have discussions about particular issues that are coming up around human rights in Scotland. So whatever's topical there, whatever people might want to get involved in influencing. So funnily enough, you won't be surprised that in 2020, from April onwards, we had a whole series of discussions around COVID-19 and its impact on human rights. And in all of those discussions, we heard a lot of stories of experience kind of on the ground, as in the people who were speaking to people about how COVID-19 and actually the restrictions around COVID were impacting on them and on their families and on their communities. As people talked about all these different kinds of stories, and many of you will know the different issues that were raised in that, really what came out was a lot of questions and concerns about the decisions that were made. Actually, this really reflects what Talat was saying earlier on, that feeling of actually there's decisions being made, there's been priorities being set, there's services being changed overnight, huge kind of impacts on people's lives. But how are those decisions being made? Who's involved in them? Why are they being made? And a concern definitely that actually those decisions might just not last for a little bit, but actually could last for a long time. There's no guarantee that people get their services back. So loads of concerns, really with a lack of clarity, a lack of knowing, well, what is going on, and particularly concern that people's voices are being heard. There was a feeling that actually there are certain groups or certain people with certain characteristics or backgrounds or who live in certain places whose voices are not being heard in those decisions. As well as a real commitment there, as I said, that the human rights approach is, for such a time as this, an approach that says actually human rights are the underpinning framework to say, let's make sure that the basic, what people need to live and their basic freedoms are protected. And that's for everybody, not just for some people. So actually, it's the ideal approach, actually, in a time of crisis. And so with that, say that this is the right discussion we had, we decided to look a little bit deeper. So what we did was we decided to repeat a survey that had actually been done in 2006 and in 2010 by Amnesty International together with some other organisations. It was a survey that really asked the question, well, what are our public authorities doing to make sure they are complying with their human rights duties that are within law? So that's the core question, is, well, what are they doing to make sure they are carrying out their actual duties within law that relate to human rights? To note, we did this actually very much, of course, because of COVID concerns, but also in light, as Naomi was mentioning earlier on, if we are intent on human rights law reforms, we are intent on actually human rights law, not just but not just staying as it is, but building on the Human Rights Act to actually bring more of our international treaty rights into Scots law, then we need to kind of know, well, how are things going right now? Actually, what does compliance look like just now? What are some of the touch points around that? That was all the time in the framing to our work. So what I wanted to do today is just give you a quick sneak preview of some of what the survey found. We'll be publishing it officially on, and we'll send you the full report there so you can see all the details. But the method we used for the survey was to ask Freedom of Information requests, and we asked them both for 2019, which I don't know if you can remember 2019, but it was mostly an average kind of normal sort of year, although I'm not sure we knew that at the time. So we asked the questions about 2019, but we also asked quite specifically about the period of March to September in 2020. And of course, since then, there's been another lockdown. We're no way out of the woods yet. But when we sent the FOI requests in November, it meant we could really look into that time period that covered that first lockdown and into the summer when the restrictions changed and there's lots of service changes. So we sent questions to 48 public bodies, so all local authorities, health boards, Police Scotland, Scottish Prison Service, and we asked them the questions you can see there. So how has the authority monitored and evaluated their compliance with Section 6 of the Human Rights Act and taken specific actions to comply with it? So as a reminder, Section 6 of the Human Rights Act is basically the bit that says public authorities have to act compatibly with the European Convention on Human Rights. So things like the right to life, the right not to be treated in an inhuman or degrading way, the right to respect for private and family life, the right to liberty. So public authorities have to act compatibly with the European Convention. And also asked a question there about human rights consideration of any changes to practice or services during COVID. So just to note, actually, the UK has signed up to a whole wide range of international treaty rights, which we'll hopefully put in Scots law. We are actually asking quite simple questions in many ways, just related to Human Rights Act compliance. It's funny, isn't it? Because when you look at FOI as an approach, is quite there's lots of caveats. So sometimes you get loads and loads of responses back, big, huge response from one and very little from another. You get some that don't respond at all. It's very patchy, depends on who's responding, depends on how they keep their paperwork. But one of the things was, by asking these simple questions, we wanted to drill down to some sort of bigger and some insight really into some more bigger fundamental questions. But also, here's the thing that underpinned our whole approach. If a public authority took deliberate steps to make sure of compliance with Human Rights Act, then there would be and there should be readily available evidence of this. So I always think that human rights protections will not happen without good intentions, but neither do they happen just by good intentions. There's actually got to be a structure and a process to making sure that when you make decisions, you've really taken into account their impact on all different sorts of groups. You've looked at them from a human rights perspective and through that lens. So, as I said, this was actually replicating a survey that had been carried out before. I'm not going to go into huge detail on what we'd found before. And again, we will send you the links to those so you can see that if you like. But to cut long story short, back in 2010, wasn't great, actually. There was a shortage of detail on explicit compliance with human rights law. Human rights were definitely taking a subsidiary role, so they were kind of over to one side. And overall, they found that actually the Human Rights Act was not high on the daily working agenda of the majority of public authorities in Scotland. So to give you summary of some of the key findings of what we found when we went out and asked these questions. Well, during 2019, I think it's fair to say that things were getting a wee bit better. So it was a wee bit more positive than had happened in 2010. So about half of the authorities who responded provided evidence that human rights impact assessments were routinely used. So that's a lot more positive before, though do know it's only half, you know, so things are getting a bit better, but it's only half. There were a few really good examples of human rights being taken into account in the service design. There were more references to human rights training and the human rights framework, for example, being used to assess patient complaints by health boards. There were quite a lot of references to children's rights, as you'd expect, because there are specific duties relating to children's rights on public authorities in Scotland. However, during March to September, 2020, what we found is there's a real stark lack of evidence of a human rights-based approach to decision-making. So from the 26 authorities in 2019 who'd carried out impact assessments, or HRAs, human rights impact assessments, on policy or services, there were only 11 who did so in that period in 2020. Very few authorities had considered human rights related to any service redesign, which is fairly big, isn't it? Because we know that services were almost completely redesigned often during COVID, and yet very few authorities could point to any consideration of the impact on people's human rights. There was generally a kind of a lack of understanding, even sometimes, of what the questions were we were asking. So a quote there, for example, one authority said, "As far as we are aware, there have been no explicit changes regarding any human rights in relation to the COVID-19 pandemic." But we know actually that COVID-19 impacts human rights in hugely significant ways. We also found overall that there is still a really stubborn lack of change in some areas with regards to human rights and public authorities. There's still a focus where there have been impact assessments, there's a focus kind of on internal kind of issues like employment and recruitment, rather than on the external things like policies and services that affect other people. The majority of authorities were not able to provide any evidence of monitoring or reporting specific to the human rights activities. And that was true of 2019 or 2020. So on the whole, public authorities are not monitoring how they're doing. They may assess the original policy when it's created, but they're not assessing the impact in terms of people's rights. And one quote there, so someone said, "At present, there is no legal requirement for us to monitor and evaluate our ECHR compliance, and we do not, therefore, have a formal process in place." So if there's not a legal duty for it, it's basically it's not happening at the moment. I'll come back to that in our conclusions. There is a continuing conflation of equality and human rights. So actually some of the authorities we asked questions of specifically about human rights replied entirely about their equality duties and saw it completely in that light, and there's just generally a lack of understanding and a conflation of these. And there was overall a lack of transparency and accountability. So three authorities chose not to provide information at all. Two stated they held no detail of actions to comply with the Human Rights Act. Three stated that all policies were assessed in line with human rights, but there was no evidence of this and none to be found online, which raises big issues in of itself. So just in the last couple of minutes then, the main big conclusion basically is that, yes, there has been some progress made in terms of human rights impact assessments being carried out. But when we measure them against the recommendations of our 2010 report, or the Amnesty one, the findings from this survey indicate a stubborn lack of progress in many key areas. And as I said, there's regrettably little explicit evidence of actions taken by public authorities to comply with their Human Rights Act duties during the first wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. I urge you, when the report comes out, to really look at it and think, well, what recommendations would you make off the back of it? But we have attempted some. So first of all, as we talked about before, COVID is not yet over. We're still living, absolutely living with the consequences. So we are recommending that public authorities should really get going now with carrying out equality and human rights impact assessments of all their COVID-related policy and services service decisions. These need to be participative, they need to be published, and they need to be in line with guidance. And actually, it's really important that these include decisions about when and how services are reinstated. I know there's a big concern with organisations that actually, for example, around social care, will disabled people ever get back the social care and the support that they needed, that they had pre-COVID, that's gone since. As Naomi outlined earlier, this crisis has been one of human rights, and therefore it's important that the public inquiry takes a human rights based approach. And it's really important actually that our learning around human rights is really embedded into our COVID recovery plans. If we're going to build back better, building back better, although I'm not sure I like that phrase, but building back better means making sure more people have their human rights protected. And what does that need to look like? It needs to be part of the recovery plans. And we see clearly from this survey that actually public authorities really need to deepen their understanding of human rights and build more of a human rights-based culture. They need to get the processes right for impact assessment, for monitoring and reporting, and particularly with a nod to the human rights law reforms that we know are coming up. I was a member of the National Task Force for Human Rights Leadership, and we had many discussions amongst the task force itself and with lots of stakeholders about it's really important that when we have new human rights law, it's not just complied with in a narrow way, in a sort of tick box way, but it's got to lead to and drive and be demonstrated through a human rights based culture and all that means. And I think what this survey does is shed some light actually on what's going on just now, with a view to actually let's make sure that public authorities have all the capacity, all the resources, all the commitment in order to that they'll take their human rights duties that are in law and make them really real, that they'll fully implement them, so that they really lead to change. And I think there's a really big message there for the Scottish Government that they need to start that work now, looking at what is it that public authorities need in order to actually fully comply and fully implement their human rights duties. So I hope that's been a helpful kind of quick overview and giving you some food for thought. As I said, the report will be out on Sunday, but we do hope that it will be a useful report for learning, actually for learning and for government and public bodies to read it and to help to so that they consider how they can better take a human rights-based approach to their decision-making.
Thank you for listening to the Human Rights 2020s podcast. For more information about our work, as Scotland's civil society network for the protection and promotion of human rights, please visit our website at www.hrcscotland.org or follow us on Twitter at @hrcscotland. Thank you.